Eugene Menkel, number 112. Mr. Menkel, tell me about your home in Europe and where you lived. You know, was it a country, town, village, farm? What kind of a house was it?
No, I lived in a town of about 40,000 people.
And what was the name of it?
Lüdenscheid, L-U with two dots over the U. D-E-N-S-E-H.
D-E-N.
D-E-N. Lüden.
Yeah.
S-E-H.
Yeah.
E-I-D.
You're German then?
Oh, yeah.
Egal. Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Sehr gut.
Genau.
In Westfalen.
Wo?
In Westfalen. W-E-S-T. Make an I, then a stroke. I-S-T. W-E-S-T.
Was it like a was it a pretty cosmopolitan city?
Yes, it was. All factories. All factories. They made buttons for army clothes, cigar cases, forks and knives, wire for electricity, and all sorts of things. It was a very booming town.
It was.
Yeah.
And what kind of a house did you live in? Was it
lived in a big house.
A house or an apartment?
A house. We had a butcher shop. It was a double house. It was right on the corner. One street that way, one street that way. There was a little garden in the front of the corner. And the family next door had a bakery. We had a butcher shop, they had a bakery.
And tell me about the family, your family that lived in your home. Did you have any brothers and sisters?
We had 18 children.
18
yeah,
children?
Some of them were born dead, I believe. But the seven of us grew up.
And how many of your brothers were older and how many were younger?
They were all older. I was younger
than
18.
How many brothers?
I had, as far as I know, there was Max, Emil, Carl, Walter. Five brothers.
And they were all older than your sisters?
Yeah, one sister.
One sister, and she was older?
She was 8 years older than I was.
So you were the baby?
I was the baby.
And your father then was a butcher?
Butcher, yeah. Okay.
And your mother was just a housewife?
Housewife. She carried meat to the millionaires and so on.
She helped with your house?
Oh, yeah, she helped with the business.
All right. And Mr. Menkel, you came here then in 1913.
That's
to
right.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah. No, to Brooklyn, New York.
And then Pittsburgh?
Then Pittsburgh, after 1 year.
What, 1914?
Yeah.
All right. And you were how old when you arrived here?
I was here 16, I was here 11 days, I was 16.
You were 16 years old?
16, then after 11 days, I was 17.
And so what is your age now, Mr. Menkel?
Almost 73 in May.
Mr. Menkel, how long did you live in the home in Germany?
Oh, that home till I was 16, almost 17.
So 16 years ago. Almost 17 years.
Yeah.
And what kind of work did you do in Germany?
In Germany?
Yeah.
I studied to be an architect.
You were going to school then?
Yeah.
You did not work with your father?
No. Of course, I had to help at times.
Yes. Mr. Menkel, what language did you speak at home? German?
Sure.
Anything else?
No.
No Yiddish?
Nope. My language too.
No, I know. I don't either.
Don't do too much now either.
No, it's funny. When you speak German, people don't understand if you don't speak Yiddish.
No, they change the words. Like, so.
Yeah.
This is so.
Yeah.
I saw it. Different words. when they talk really, that you can't even
understand
one word.
No, I can't. I don't think our ears in German are trained to hear Yiddish.
That's right.
So your schooling was what? Could you go into detail what your schooling was?
Well, 8 years through public school.
Yeah.
And then went to almost 3 years. I had to work in the office, architect, for a builder.
Apprentice then? You were an apprentice?
I was in learned drawing and so on, and I had to learn Brooklyn too. In Germany you have to learn both.
I know. You have to know everything about it,
yeah.
Your trade.
You have to know your trade.
Mr. Minkle, did you go to school those 3 years, or were you just...
Had to go to school, too.
What kind of school did you go to?
Well, the trade school, they call it.
The trade school. Building trade.
Yeah.
Okay. And what was your synagogue like? Do you remember?
Just a small synagogue.
Was it a home, or was
it
a building?
No, it was a building, their own private building.
And how many people would you say were... members of the congregation?
We had 22 families.
Of the whole town, 40,000. 22?
Yeah. That I remember well.
All right. And what was your relation with the non-Jewish people in the community?
Very good.
Did you see them socially?
Went to school with them.
But did you see them, did you go out with boys?
Oh,
and
yes. A boy
in school
called me a dirty Jew. You do your yuck at me.
Yeah.
That's from Mars and Schwarzenegger. That's what they used to say. There's only one. So the teacher asked, who's talking? Well, nobody got up. I got up. He said, what's the matter? I said, well, this boy has called me a dirty Jew and so on.
Yeah.
And he called him out, laid him over a chair. And they had the reed stick, about that long, about 3 feet long. He sticks my little finger, and he beat him, I thought he'd kill him.
Because he called you a dirty Jew?
Yeah. He said, if all the people in Germany was as nice as the Jews, it'd be a wonderful world. He said, they don't drink, or they take a little snubs for sociability, but they never get drunk. You don't hear them in courts, having trouble in courts, stealing and so on.
Did you belong or attend to any political organization in Germany?
No.
Your parents?
No.
And what was your relationship to the government towards the church?
Well, my father was in the army during the war, 1870 and 71. And he figured he's as good a German as anybody. Because when Hitler came in power, he found out that our family was in Germany 624 years. So why wouldn't he be any different? Why would he be any different than any other Jew? Or any other German. So when a boy in Germany was 19 years old, he had to go to the army. He had to be examined. He was pretty out of the army. My father gave all the advice. This is your country. You behave yourself like everybody else. This is our job. This is our country. We have to fight for it, just as there was no war then, but we have to live accordingly to every other national.
So you had no difficulty with the government?
None whatsoever, none whatsoever.
What did you think of America at the time? Were you ever thinking about it at all?
The land of milk and honey, gold laying on the streets. I remember one time, somebody wrote his family that they came to the United States was a Gentile. He says, when our socks at 200, you throw them away, you buy new. So naturally, there's a land within living.
When we were children in Germany, we had a dressmaker that came to the house, and she always had a darning ball.
Mm-hmm.
We never heard her throwing socks away.
Oh, no.
Never.
No.
That made quite an impression on us, too.
Yeah, my mother, we couldn't get over that, people throw a sock away, you know. My mother said that. Darned a sock that long, they used to come up for years.
Sure.
And every night she made one. You didn't need those friendly.
Oh, she was knitting.
Knitting. You couldn't even watch it.
I know, that's how fast they were. Mr. Menkel, did you think of any other ways of America other than the fact that it was like the milk of land?
No, that's all I figured.
And why did you leave your country?
I wanted to get away. My father had died.
Oh, your father had died.
And I wanted to get away. I wanted to see the world.
You wanted to see the world.
Yeah.
And why did you come to the United States?
Well, because you heard so much about America.
Did you have anybody here?
No, I didn't. In Pittsburgh I had, but I came to New York. There was a family named the Kessler. Their relation lived in our town. They had a horse butcher shop. And they gave their address, and I stayed there for a day or two.
But you had no?
No relation there in New York.
And so when you came to New York, you didn't know where you were going to go?
No. Matter of fact, when I got off of the boat, the Jewish organization, the Hyatt, took me to their place. It was on a Friday evening, gave me something to eat, and then slept in a big room, a lot of beds, everything was snow white. And after Shabbos, it was Friday evening, after Shabbos in the evening, they took me to this address where these people live.
The Kessler.
Kessler.
Yeah.
But this man didn't know where the street was. So he couldn't find it. It was only one block long. So he took me back and they stayed over Saturday night. And another man took me Sunday morning to Kessler.
And Mr. Menkel, were you part of a traveling group together, or did you travel alone?
I was all by myself.
Just all together?
All by myself.
No. And how did you travel? Could you tell me exactly how you left your city? And
I left the town and went to Hamburg.
That's where I was born.
Really?
By train?
By train.
Train to Hamburg, yeah.
Then went to Holland.
By how?
By boat.
Over
the North Sea. Went to Amsterdam. Stayed there about 2 weeks, I imagine.
So you went directly to Amsterdam from Hamburg?
Yeah. Then after 2 weeks, I went to Rotterdam. Then I shipped to England, to Hull, England.
Shipped to Holland. Shipped from Rotterdam to Holland.
Yeah, I shipped.
Yeah.
Then went from Rotterdam to Hull, Liverpool, to Hull on the boat.
Now you went from Rotterdam to England.
England, yeah.
To Liverpool.
To Hull first. To Hull. Hull. H-U-L-L.
Is that in England?
Yeah.
From Hull to Liverpool?
Yeah, that took by train. Right through the Mississippi.
Hull to Liverpool went
by train.
Train. Yes.
Then came over on the Mauritania. M-A-U-R-E-T-A-N-I-A. Mauritania.
Mauritania. cheap debt to
the
United States.
The sistership of the Lusitania. It's the son.
That was the war.
That was before the war.
That was the First World War, wasn't it?
The Lusitania got
sent. Yes, that's how we got involved in the. That's how the United States got involved in the war.
Well, we would have been in anyhow.
Yes, I'm sure of that, but for some reason, history says that that was the.
Final
blow, yes. So Hyatt met you
in New York.
In New York. And what objects of paper did you bring with you to the United States? Do you have any?
Everything was lost. My a big basket, like a big trunk.
Yeah.
It was a basket, but it was like a trunk. All my clothes. I seen it up to Liverpool in England, and then it was gone. I rode in for it and never heard no more about it.
You see, you had nothing. Everything was lost.
Everything was lost. The only thing I had was the clothes on my back.
You had... I interrupted you, and I'm sorry.
That's
you were telling
right.
me how much clothes you had.
I had three suits, and I had a lot of shirts, socks, underwear, and so on. I had my clothes, my dollars, my clear book.
But that was lost?
Everything was lost.
So you only
didn't have nothing.
Is your name the same here, Mr. Menko, as it was in Germany?
No. My name in Germany, yes. See.
But?
I come over on a different name.
Oh, you did. Would you like to tell me that story?
Well, maybe I should.
Well, that's up to you.
No, I'll let it go.
You want to tell me that? Let's record now. Let's see. We had a little trouble with our tape recorder, so I want to ask you again, Mr. Menko. What first impressed you when you came to the United States?
Statue of Liberty.
And then you mentioned the East Side, too.
The East Side, the days, all the different ships, and so on, as well. And they brought me, then there was a man asked me what 30, the 6 times 6 was, and I said $25.
Yes.
I never forget that. Well, I put a mark if any question you didn't know, then I put an X on the airport. But I had no trouble. I went through Ellis Island, and I had no trouble. So they took me to the Kessler, to their home, Hyatt there, and stayed there. And then Sunday, then on Monday, I got a job in the bakery in New York.
Uh-huh. All right, and what first impressed you when you arrived in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh, well, I walked over there from the Baltimore station over the bridge, Snooker Street Bridge, and then over the north side, another bridge, and it really seemed like a nice town.
Was your cousin Max Wolf with you, walking across the bridge with you?
No, I came myself.
I thought he came to New York.
He came to pick me up, and he came back home. And give me a ticket, and I walked by myself. He was here, and I was.
So you came from New York alone?
Alone, yeah.
And Mr. Wolf met you here?
He met me. No. I went right to his home.
You went to his home. Where was that?
On Federal Street.
On Federal Street.
Yeah.
What did Mr. Wolf do, may I ask?
He worked in Kaufman and Bears.
Oh, he did work?
Yeah, Kaufman and Bears.
But he was not related to them.
He was related to me.
But not to the Kaufmans or the
Bears. No. He was a salesman then.
A salesman.
And he had a little cigar store on Federal Street.
Can you remember anything else about Pittsburgh at that time? Your first day? What was it like?
Well, I thought it was a beautiful town.
But you don't remember any other significant differences?
No, I'm not that. No.
Was there anything about life in the United States, Mr. Menko, that disappointed you?
Not at all.
You weren't disappointed?
No. Of course, I was homesick for the first year, very homesick.
But you weren't disappointed?
No. I cried a good bit, but from homesickness.
Yeah.
Then I got a job trying to be this elevator boy.
So you were kept busy?
I was kept busy.
Mr. Menko, was there any point during the first 5 years when you felt unjustly treated because you were an immigrant?
No.
Not at all?
None whatsoever.
After having lived in the United States for 5 years, did you feel that you had accomplished or would eventually accomplish what you came here to do?
Well, I don't know. I never figured out. I worked a year and a half to run the elevator. Then I went to Spike for the helper. I'm a union permit, and the man went out of business. Then I went in the mill in the resting house for a while. I kept myself busy at all times, got from one job to another. Never had any trouble finding work, because I wanted to work.
Where was your first home in this area?
On Federal Street, 1413.
1413?
1213,
Federal. And what was it like? What was the neighborhood like?
Very nice. Nice German people. Mostly German.
Mostly German?
Mostly German.
How about yours?
Very few Jews.
They
used to live there, but they moved Squirrel Hill to Hill District.
And you live with your cousin, is that right?
Yeah. For about a year.
And his name was Wolf.
Yeah.
And you lived there 1 year?
Yeah, about a year.
And was this your own home or apartment? Or?
No, they had their own home there.
He had his own home?
Yeah.
Was there a family there, Mr. Nankle? Did he have a wife?
His wife and boy and a girl.
And where are they now, Mr. Nankle?
They're both dead. And the boy just died not long ago. He was 52. He ran a big restaurant in Texas somewhere. His sister is in Texas. Yeah, she's married to what was the actor's name? One of the actors, I forget his name. And now I don't know if she's married now or not, but she said to be a nurse here.
Oh, she did.
She took an extra course and was a supervisor in Pittsburgh, then she went to Texas.
All right, Mr. Mankle, what was the neighborhood like? Was it just
common, ordinary neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of work did you do when you first came to this country? You mentioned it before. Let's go to New York.
1 year bakery.
And that was at the bakery?
Yeah.
And then when you first came to Pittsburgh?
I run an elevator for a year and a half.
Year and a half? Do you remember where?
I'm North Avenue.
Pardon me?
North Avenue.
North Avenue. Was that in the north side?
Yeah. It was an apartment house.
An apartment house. Is it still there, Mr. Mankle?
Yeah.
It is.
24 apartments.
24 apartments. And how did you get your training for your work?
I run an elevator, and I clean people's windows, and I got $3 for each apartment that I clean. I clean all the two families' windows. They clean their own. I wash ceilings for the people. They give me $3. Oh no, 50 cents a dollar.
I was wondering. Where did you get your training for baking?
Oh, I just
picked it up.
I picked it up. That's all.
One thing I wanted to ask you, Mr. Mankle, what became of your work in Europe, your building and architectural training?
After I came to Pittsburgh, I wanted to go to Carnegie Tech. I went to an office, architect's office, and they only wanted to give me $6 a week. And I couldn't live on that. To buy clothes, to buy books at Carnegie Tech, pay for my schooling, food and everything. It was impossible to live, even then, on $6 a week. So I took any job I
could. And when you first came to Pittsburgh, you ran an elevator?
Elevator, a year and a half.
And I'd like to ask you more detail. How much did you earn At the bakery in...
$3 a week.
In at the bakery?
Yeah.
That's in New York. And what were your hours?
4 in the morning to 9 at night.
Mm. 4 a.m.
4 a.m. to 9 p.m.
And running the elevator, what was your hours?
Oh, about 8 hours.
About 8 hours. And what were you paid there?
$35 a month.
$35 a month. And then you did make extra on the cleaning the apartment.
Tips. People were nice to me.
Yeah.
I was nice to them. They were nice to me.
Yeah. Did you work on Saturdays or Jewish holidays?
Every day.
Every day. How long did you remain at this work?
Year and a half.
And, did you belong to any unions at that time?
No.
What became your life's work, Mr. Lincoln?
My life's work? I've done everything. I worked here. I went to the Westinghouse, and I had to belong to the union then. And finally I got out of there, quit, because one fellow called me a dirty Jew there, and I hit him. I worked night work, and I was boys over seven people. And the night foreman came, and, oh no, before that, the night foreman, the supervisor, came and asked me where my man was. I said, well, they're all sleeping. He said, you're not allowed to let them sleep. I said, now listen, I'll show you something. I showed him the work. And I said, this is what they did when they were working. Now, since I tell them, if they get through with their work, they can go to sleep. I turned out twice as much work as they usually did. Very true. But then one night, one of the fellows called me a dirty Jew, and I let them have it. I wouldn't take nothing. No insult from nobody. So the foreman happened to come along, supervisor came along, said, what's going on here? I said, nothing.
Go ahead, Mr.
And I said, I want my money in the morning. He said, why? You're a good worker. Give me a nickel more an hour. I said, I want no. Yeah, I said, he asked me how this works, how this trouble started. I didn't answer him, but somebody had a fellow stone. So he fired the man right away. He said, go down and get your money. At the door, I'm going to call down. They give you money right away. You're true. So I told the man, I'm true too. I quit. I'm not taking no insults. I work, like to work, but I don't take no insults. So I quit. Then I went and looked in the paper. And I went to the union, high sales union, and I got a job.
Was this in the first 5 years?
Yes.
And what did you do at Westinghouse?
Westinghouse, I worked on, I don't know what they call it, cutting out pieces for electrical parts. That's what it was. Main work.
And what did you make at Westinghouse?
Oh, that I don't even
know. Maybe
it was 27 cents an hour or something like that. Maybe it wasn't that much.
And then after Westinghouse, what did you do?
Oh, then I went to Esther Thompson Mill, steel mill. I worked near the furnace there.
Was that also the first 5 years?
Yeah, it was a little after that. And they were all Slavish fellows. And they wanted to make it tough for me. So they pulled the stuff out of their furnace so fast and threw them on the table, and I had to put them in a punch press. It was long tongs. It was really hot there. And so they wanted to make it tough for me because I was a Jew, and I threw them right through the machine instead of letting them get stamped out. And finally the boss, who was born here, but he went to Germany, he was failure, father born, to study and come back here. And he liked me because I was German too. So, well, then we went on strike there. I worked for a little while after that, and then I quit. I kind of arguing. Then I